It's time for Buy Local Lowfout, the Protection of Personal Information Act. We all know it lovingly as POPIA is on everyone's radar, and it's come into effect on the 1st of July 2021 after years of being a draft. Last week, we started talking about that with Alison Blair. She's a marketing coach here in the Lowveld. So in part two of our talk, we're going to get quite practical. We're going to be looking at the steps. So once again, we're talking specifically in its application to marketing. That is our focus in this series. Where do we start, Alison?
So yeah, there are eight easy steps to become compliant. The first one is that you need to appoint and register an information officer. And this is with the information regulator. So with the guide that I have developed, there is a link there for you, and it takes you directly to where you have to go. You know, it is my recommendation that either the owner or one of the top managers actually is appointed as the information officer, because as we said before, there are harsh consequences, and somebody that is responsible needs to hold that position.
So anyone who wants to do marketing for their business needs to follow these steps. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And the first step is appointing an information officer.
Even if you're a one-man show, then that is you.
Correct.
Step two, what do we do then?
Step two is just to really look at all the data that you are collecting and just to make sure that you're collecting the bare minimum that you need. You know, this will just help you to only have to manage and protect and to store the minimum information for your business, so you're not unnecessarily made vulnerable, you know, with data breaches. So look what you're collecting, why you're collecting it, and just strip it down to the bare minimum that you need.
And sometimes it's amazing what data we actually are collecting and capturing and maybe not even using. So that is a kind of an audit in itself to make sure,
yes,
what are you collecting, why, and are you really using that. Then I need to talk to my team.
Yeah, so step three is you need to inform your team about the POPIA Act and the implications on you as a business and how customers might, you know, ask questions about how did you get my information? Where are you storing it? Can I see my information? I need to update it. So your team needs to be aware of all of these things and how you manage it in your business so that you can easily answer those questions for customers and, you know, update the details as necessary.
And this is what part three of our talk next week is going to focus on. Exactly how do you handle that meeting with your team? That brings us to updates. We need to update things like our website. Where do we need to do these updates?
So the biggest thing on your website is if you have an opt-in form, if you're collecting databases or email addresses for a newsletter or you're selling products, anything like that through your website, there is actually a correct opt-in format. Previously, companies could just have, by signing up, you know, I agree to the terms and accept, you know, your terms and conditions and privacy policy. That's no longer not compliant. You cannot have pre-checked boxes on your website. Customers actually need to physically check a box to say, yes, by signing up, I hereby give my consent to receive direct marketing from you. So you have to be specific and it has to be an active consent to any opt-in on your website.
So that's again the big difference between the POPIA and the previous act. The previous act, you just had to opt out. Now you actually have to opt in before you share any information.
Correct. Yeah. So the biggest difference is the active and implied consent between the two acts. And then the next thing is the privacy policy. So this is also very important. And yeah, I recommend seeking, you know, legal advice to make sure your privacy policy is compliant. And then cookies. I don't know if everybody knows what a cookie is, but, you know, these are little text files that contain small pieces of data. And this is what's used to identify a customer's computer. And, you know, they are also responsible for, sure, how did Google know that I'm interested in this product? Kind of online marketing. And it's all because of the cookies. And now you actually have to be very specific about the cookies you use, why you're using cookies, and you need to give customers the option of opting in on some of them, opting out of some of them. And there are specific disclaimers that you need on your website to adhere to this.
I must say that's one thing that I've noticed. Every single website you open nowadays, there's this cookies that you need to give permission for, only the necessary or all the cookies or no thanks and et cetera. So that's what it's all about. What else should we remember when it comes to our website?
Again, just don't use pre-ticked checkboxes. And scrolling, and you know, when you say that if I use this website and scroll through it, I give my consent. Again, that is old school, implied consent, needs to be active consent. And you're actually not allowed to block some of the functions on your website through the cookies. So that's also not allowed anymore. But you do need to give the customers options to go in and check their preferences and choose what information they're happy to give away to you through the cookies.
Maybe just give us a practical example of a disclaimer. For example, what should I write?
So a cookie disclaimer example is saying we use cookies and other tracking technologies to improve your browsing experience on our website and to show you personalized content, to analyze our website traffic, and to understand where our visitors are coming from. And then you actually need to add in three buttons that say, I agree, I decline, or change my preferences. Off underneath that disclaimer.
Okay, so once we've finished looking at our website, we need to also, in step five, look at our email marketing communication. What are some tips, practical tips in that regard?
Yes. So the first thing is that you need to make sure your company name and logo is displayed very vividly. So customers must be able to quickly see who the email has come from. You need to make sure you're only sending relevant emails related to your products and services. And also make sure that you still have to have the clear opt out options in the header and the footer of your email. So that's still very important. And then also you need to add in a link to give your customers an opportunity to update their details, should they feel it's necessary. But, you know, luckily using an email marketing platform, they have already been developed and they're all compliant with Poppy. So, you know, to make your life easier, use one of those platforms. There are a number of them that are free to use, you know, if you've got a small database. So I would definitely recommend using one of those and then you make sure you are compliant.
So we've checked the website. We've checked our email communication. Where does step six take us?
That's with regards to WhatsApp and SMS communication. So I think a lot of businesses are still using that. And it's very important that you do keep your database updated. Also, only send relevant messages, and you still need to provide that clear opt-out with every message. And now with the Poppy Act, you need to actually, they call it channel-specific opt-out process, which means that if you've sent an SMS to your customer, they must be able to opt out by replying to your SMS. Or if you've sent them a WhatsApp, they must be able to opt out via a WhatsApp message. So you can't ask them to opt out via another platform. So it has to be channel specific.
Does the Poppy Act also touch my third party service providers and the contracts that I have with them?
Yes. So it's very important that if you make use of an IT company that does your security, or you store data somewhere, or somebody else, you've outsourced your marketing and somebody else is running your email campaigns, all those third-party vendors to your business, you actually need to sign addendums to their contracts and make sure that all the contracts you sign in with them include the Poppy Act, and to make sure that they also agree to keep your customers' information safe at all times.
That was step seven, and the last practical step
is you need to have transparent access to your data. So this basically just allows customers an opportunity to see what data you're holding and for them to update it and to opt out if necessary.
Very, very helpful. We look forward to next week's talk. It's part three in our series about marketing and the Poppy Act. And next week, we're going to focus on that team talk that you're going to have with everyone in your team regarding the Poppy Act.